Hi, this is Bob Whipple, also known as the Trust Ambassador. This podcast is entitled Playing Favorites. As a leader, do you play favorites at work? I ask this question in my consulting and teaching work frequently. Most times, leaders think about this for several seconds and then say something like, "Well, I guess I do play favorites, but I try not to." Occasionally, I'll have some managers or supervisors who are adamant, "No, I do not play favorites at all." As we discuss this a bit more, the managers realize that they do have some people they are more comfortable with than others. In every group, there are people you would rather work with if that's possible. That's human nature. When making decisions about who does what in an organization, leaders habitually play favorites, even though they know it's a real trust buster. Let's examine why this is and suggest a few antidotes that allow you to operate freely and not fail as a leader due to the issue of favorites. First, recognize that you do have people that you prefer to work with on a specific job. You click with them and work well together, or they have a special skill or track record that gives you confidence the job will be well done. These are your go-to people for specific jobs. Barring any outside force, you would choose these people for their traditional roles. Unfortunately, the more you use people in a certain type of special assignment, the more you appear to be playing favorites to the rest of the population. That can create unfortunate conversations about you in the break room. How can you continue to operate most of the time with the people you're most comfortable with and still beat the stigma of playing favorites? Here are four antidotes to consider. 1. Have a kind of standard for special assignments. If you select George to do the budget work because he has an accounting background, that's something you can explain to others. If someone else wants to help with the budget, he or she needs to get some accounting training too. 2. Discuss the situation openly with employees and offer flexibility. In a typical staff meeting, it might sound like this: "I'm asking Alice to answer this customer complaint letter because she's done this work well in the past. Since I've used her before in this role, this might appear to be playing favorites, and I want to avoid that. If other people in the group would like to answer these letters in the future, let me know, and I'll ask Alice to work alongside and train you in the proper techniques." This method has 3 advantages. First, by openly addressing the issue of favorites, it becomes impossible for people to accuse you of being clueless on this issue. Second, you have shown a willingness to develop others in this special role if they want to step up. Finally, Alice is put on notice that she is not the heir apparent just because she's done you a few favors in the past. The easiest way to beat the favorites stigma is to operate outside your normal groove for a few occasions. You only need to do this a time or two to beat the rap. The vast majority of times you can go with your gut or normal pattern. Furthermore, you get to pick which times you veer from your normal path. Select a time when the particular assignment is not crucial or the timing allows for some significant review, and offer the opportunity to try someone new. Letting someone new take a specific assignment is all it takes to squelch the break room talk that you always play favorites. Finally, having a policy of cross-training everyone on a few jobs is another easy way to reduce the favorites issue. This is a simple matter of developing bench strength, which is a sign of an astute organization anyway. If everyone is trained on at least 3 jobs, you will rarely be caught flat-footed when a key person is out for 2 months due to an automobile accident, or be left stranded when a prime employee decides to quit. The side benefit is that people will see this as logical and willingly cross-train others as part of an overall policy. If you wait until you're in a downsizing mode, you will get a chilly reception if you ask Anne to train Mike on her job responsibilities. She will instantly know her days are numbered. Her training efforts will be lackluster at best and full of future sabotage at worst. There's an interesting backlash to the issue of having or playing favorites. If you're in a leadership position, you want all of your feedback and appraisal information to be as objective as possible. But how do you know when you're being objective? I found myself unconsciously grading down my favorite people in order to satisfy myself that I was not being biased. Then I would catch myself and wonder if I was really being fair to my best people. So I would jack up their performance reviews. Then later I would ruminate that I really did that because these were the people I was most comfortable with. In other words, I really struggled to figure out if I was being anywhere close to objective. Compounding that is how other people would perceive my calls on performance reviews during supervisor correlation sessions. I always felt my own administrative assistant was at a disadvantage due to this conundrum. If I rated her slightly down in order to not appear biased, then I felt guilty about it when reviewing her performance appraisal. You can go slowly insane with this kind of analysis. But the way out is to have a solid correlation process among managers to review all performance appraisals, specifically looking for any local bias. In order to have an environment of trust, people need to know they will be treated fairly when it comes time for performance reviews. They have to be able to trust that they will be assessed fairly on their merits, as well as their weaknesses, and seen as a whole person. Be consciously aware of the issue of playing favorites. It is a significant trust buster in every organization, yet by using the techniques I've outlined in this podcast, any leader can avoid the trap. At the same time, it is possible to use your go-to people most of the time for critical assignments. This is Bob Whipple, the Trust Ambassador, and I can be reached at bwhipple@leadergrow.com.